Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
Born on an upstate farm in New York, he made $8,000 in the California Gold Rush, 1852 to 1856. He opened a wholesale grocery business in Cincinnati and then moved it to Milwaukee. He made millions selling meat to the U.S. Army during the Civil War. In 1865, he moved his base to Chicago. His innovations including bringing live hogs to the metropolis for slaughter, inventing an assembly line system for the disassembly of hogs, canning the product, economy of scale, and efficiency in detail. He systematically utilized waste products, boasting that he had made use of everything but the squeal. In order to get his meat products to market, he followed the lead of Gustav Swift, a rival of his, when he established his own refrigerator line. In 1883, his endeavor soon became the largest private refrigerator car fleet in the U.S., which by 1900 listed over 12,000 units on its roster, all built in his own car plant. The General American Transportation Corporation would assume ownership of the line in 1932. He expanded into banking and speculation on future markets for pork and wheat. By 1900, his plant employed 15,000 workers. His own wealth was in the range of $50 million. His meatpacking plants pioneered new principles of large-scale organization and refrigeration to the industry. First, he implemented the assembly line in order to speed up production. Additionally, he was one of the first to take action to reduce tremendous waste inherent in the slaughtering of hogs and to take advantage of the resale value of what had been waste products. His biggest concern was ensuring that every part of the animal was made useful. Thus, out of meat packing came auxiliary industries such as glue, fertilizer, margarine, lard, and gelatin. He was even famously quoted that he did use everything but the squeal. Now, the urgent need for the army for meat packing during the Spanish-American War led to a highly publicized complaint about embalmed beef. You see, the company's reputation was already tarnished in 1889. Nelson A. Miles, a captain in the U.S. Army, claimed that all the major meat packing companies in Chicago, including his, were sending chemically treated meat to soldiers overseas. An investigation followed, but no definitive verdict was reached. Skeptics would claim that he simply bribed the panel, while he himself would defend his innocence until his death. Even so, the damage was done. The evidence that was found provided fodder for the muckraking novel of Upton Sinclair entitled The Jungle, which was published in February 1906 and became a bestseller. But Armour's reputation never recovered from the 1889 to 1899 scandal, and he retired from business in 1899 and devoted himself to philanthropy in the Chicago area, including local cost housing for industrial workers and the major institution of higher education, the Armour Institute. In 1893, Armour donated $1 million to found the Armour Institute of Technology, a privately endowed college which merged with the Lewis Institute and became the Illinois Institute of Technology in 1940. He also created the Armour Mission, an educational and healthcare center, providing low-cost and free healthcare to those without. In 1900, his son Philip Armour Jr. died, and Armour himself died in January 1901 of pneumonia in his Chicago home. The town of Armour, South Dakota, was named for him. And in 1885, the town of Armourdale, Kansas, now the district of Armourdale in Kansas City, in 1881. The Union Pacific Railroad has one of its official colors, Armour Yellow, which is the same color used by the Armour refrigerated cars in early 20th century. Philip Danforth Armour Sr., American meatpacking industrialist who founded the Chicago-based firm of Armour & Company. Now remind me again why I need government to subsidize education or health care when philanthropists like this walk amongst us.